Welcome back to Glitchcast episode number 42, but more importantly, this is our 1 year anniversary episode.
Pew, we started, pew, pew, pew.
I believe the first episode was September 17th, 2017.
Well, isn't that cute? Well, we managed to squeak out 42 of these in a 52-week year, so we did miss a couple weeks, but we'll do better this year. In our second year, we're kind of getting this down now.
Yeah, yeah. We did pretty well.
We did. We
pretty
did.
Well. But this week, we will be talking about The Predator, which is the reboot? Would you call it a reboot?
It is a continuation, officially. I looked this up. It is a continuation. I can't remember if AVP and the Alien vs. Predator series is part of the canon, but it is a continuation.
Yeah, so whole new cast of characters. Goes a little bit more into sort of like the blockbuster action goofy kind of realm.
You can say that.
I would say the other ones did. But we'll get to that with non-spoiler and spoiler reviews. But as always, we start out with some movie news. So this isn't like an official story. No one really knows what's going on with this. But about midweek, a report came out from The Hollywood Reporter saying that Henry Cavill is out as Superman. He's not going to return because WB and DC decided basically they weren't going to need him to appear in any of like the upcoming films that they have slated, and they were going to start centering it around Supergirl. They're going to make a Supergirl movie or something, and so she was going to be like the center of their universe now. But then, as the day went on, and then like the next day happened, Henry Cavill posted like a video of him just like holding like a Superman toy with like music going on in the background. Didn't say anything. Then his manager came out and said like, "Oh, like this isn't true. Like the talks are still going on." So maybe out as Superman. We don't really know.
I kind of saw this coming with the Witcher. Was that the one that he was cast in last week? Like that's probably going to be a multi-season thing, and the writing's on the wall with the DCEU right now, or whatever they've decided to call it. I don't know. I kind of saw this coming, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is real.
It kind of sucks because I actually really like him as Superman. He hasn't really been given like a lot of cool stuff to do, but I think he's perfect for Superman. He's the perfect look for it.
Yeah, I agree. And I still don't know if he's a good actor. Like, I think he was pretty good in Mission Impossible. The script hasn't been too good for him in his last Superman outings, but I like the guy. I think he's a perfect, picture-perfect Clark Kent.
Yeah. And he's very charismatic too, which they don't really let him do, obviously, in these movies because they're grim as hell. But like if you've seen like Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's super charismatic in that.
I actually haven't caught that one. I've heard it's pretty good though.
Oh, it's great. All right, next up, Venom officially receives a PG-13 rating. People were holding out, hoping that it would get R. See Tom Hardy's Venom just chopping people's heads off and biting arms off and stuff and seeing blood and gore, but apparently that's not happening. It's just gonna be PG-13. So,
and I'm gonna guess they shot it hoping they would go for the R, and now they're gonna hack it apart to make that PG-13 rating. And I kind of saw it coming with the end of the last trailer where it was like talking about cutting the guy's arms off and making him like a walking turd or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, this is really cringy and immature. So I remember, it's like episode 20, we heard of Venom being casted and directed by Sony, and I think I stood firm. I am not excited for this, and it's going to be a disaster, and standing firm on that now. What about you?
I have had a roller coaster of emotions for this one. I think when the news first came out, I can't remember. I would think I was like, you know, I was a little bit more excited for it than you were, and then as time went on, I was like, oh, well, this doesn't sound very good, and then like, I saw the cast round out, I saw the director hop on board, and I was like, okay, it might be decent. And then the trailers came out, and I was like, oh no, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And now this just sort of cements it. Like, there's no way this movie's going to be good. It's going to have, like, I'm guessing 37% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I guess even lower than that. I mean, we'll talk about what The Predator's at, but I imagine it's going to be worse than what we just saw. So, yeah, I'm thinking, like, low, like, teens.
Yeah. Next up, Arnold Schwarzenegger actually rejected a role in The Predator, this new Predator movie, in favor of a role in James Cameron's Terminator 6. That's actually James Cameron and, oh my god, what is the guy's name that made Deadpool?
Tim Miller?
Tim Miller, yes. James Cameron and Tim Miller's Terminator 6. So, what do you think about that move? Do you think that's the right move for him to do?
Without spoiling what we're about to discuss, he may have dodged a bullet here. That being said, how many times have we tried to make Terminator happen, and it still hasn't happened? He had a shot with Terminator 3, and that flopped as well. He was in the last one. Like, I honestly just don't even care.
I think he should have just done the Predator.
Yeah.
Because I think Terminator 6 is going to be terrible, and there hasn't been a good one since, you know, T2. So, in the images that they released of whoever is going to be in it, Mackenzie Davis, just looks so bad.
Those promo shots looked so bad. They look like a really bad cosplay.
I have no faith in it. You know, I don't really like James Cameron as it is. Why shouldn't he just be, like, searching the depths of the ocean and, like, making Avatar?
Yeah, he's got to work on Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9, and 10.
Oh, man. I truly hope those never come out.
I do too, but we're in store for them.
Yeah, I guess. Next up, Netflix and Lakeith Stanfield have joined A24's Adam Sandler movie called Uncut Gems. Now, they call it an Adam Sandler movie. It's not really an Adam Sandler movie. He is the lead in it, but it's from the Safdie brothers that made Good Time last year.
Oh, you liked that one.
Robert Pattinson in it. Yeah, one of my favorites of last year. So this is about just like a jewelry store owner that gets caught up in some illegal shit, I believe. But Lakeith Stanfield's joining. He was in Get Out. He's in Atlanta. He's been in a bunch of stuff. But Netflix is also going to be distributing it. By distributing, so that just means that they're going to stream it. So that's interesting.
It is. And anytime I see the word Adam Sandler attached to anything, I cringe. You know, we've been burned too many times. But this could be okay. I really like this Lakeith guy.
I think Adam Sandler's actually not bad in like dramatic roles.
I agree. Did you see the movie The Cobbler?
Yeah, that was terrible, though.
Was it bad?
But it was
the new one he had with Dustin Hoffman was pretty good, right?
Which one is that? Oh, Meyerowitz Stories?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. I wasn't the biggest fan, because it was just kind of like, I don't know, it wasn't like an interesting narrative or anything.
Just got to stay away from like the shitty ones that he's making with you know, his band of idiots. See Kevin James anywhere near it, run.
But hopefully this will bring him back to the prominence. Maybe he'll get a kick in the ass and feel like he needs to make good movies again.
I agree.
All right. So Halloween reviews have started coming in. It premiered at TIFF last week or 2 weeks ago now. And basically, the reviews are pretty good. 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 76% on Metacritic, 8.0 average rating out of those Rotten Tomatoes reviews. Granted, there's only like 15 to 20 reviews, so it might like go down a little bit. Generally that's kind of what happens, but so far it seems like it's gonna be one of the best in the series, if not the best, is what it sounds like. Basically it's this and the original, and the rest are far behind.
Wow. So Danny McBride writing, David Gordon Green, director of Pineapple Express, I think, directing, correct?
Yep.
That's hilarious pair to take on essentially a Halloween kind of like soft reboot, where I think it's ignoring Halloween 2, H2O, all that garbage, and really just trying to refresh this thing. So I'm getting really excited. I saw trailer 2. It looked really, really good and creepy. Some long shots of him just stalking people, you know, killing them. It looks awesome. I'm excited.
I just like don't understand like the vibe that it's going to have. Like, is it going to be like... is it going to be like classic slashery? Is it going to be kind of like tongue-in-cheek and kind of campy and playful? Is it going to be like stupid action-y because Jamie Lee Curtis is like trying to get revenge or something? Like, what is it going to be like?
I'm thinking like Cabin in the Woods, where there's still some scares, but it's just a fun horror movie. Probably not as serious and scary as the first one, but something like that. That's what I'm thinking and feeling from this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens, but the talent involved, at least, I'm obviously excited for that. I need to know what Danny McBride can do. All right, then next up, Mark Duplass has begun production writing for Creep 3. Did you see Creep and Creep 2?
I saw Creep 1, and I liked it. Okay. I've not seen Creep 2. Mark Duplass, if you guys don't know, great little director, good actor. He's Pete from The League, really talented guy. You didn't like Creep 1, though, did you?
I did not like Creep at all. I didn't bother watching the second one, although I heard the second one might be better than the first. I don't really know. But I just... I I did not like it at all. It was just too weird and, like, not really scary. It was just, like, weird and boring and dumb.
I wouldn't say it's scary. It's just off-putting. Like, the style yes. that he shoots it in, the things that he says, it's just off-putting. And it worked for me, but it's definitely a polarizing movie.
Yeah. But I guess they're going to make a third one.
I love how the news is just shifting to horror as we get closer to October here. Our favorite month of the year for movie reviews.
Yeah. Then final movie news story of the week. There's a first official look at Joaquin Phoenix in his Joker origin movie.
Oh boy.
He looks... I don't even know how to describe this. He,
I just tweeted it out. I just put it on all of our social networks, so go take a look. It's in our timeline. He doesn't look like Joker to me.
It's like he has like the long, kind of moppy hair, and he's wearing just like he just looks bad. Like I don't
he,
like
he just
it
looks
doesn't
like,
really give me anything.
He looks like he's just in a Wes Anderson movie or something.
Yes. Know? Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But then again, keep in mind how much we hated the Heath Ledger casting way back in the day. Granted, that didn't really work out for the Jared Leto casting. But I don't know. We got to see him in motion here in a trailer before we make the final call. But first impression, not good.
Yeah, no, and I think this movie is going to be bad, so. two TV news stories this week. Westworld. For season 3, they have added Aaron Paul, who played Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad.
Yeah!
He's joining. There's no details about like what his character is going to be, if he's going to be like, you know, like one of the hosts or the robots or whatever, or just like a normal human or what. The creators have said that season 3 is going to get taken in a whole new direction, apparently. I don't know what that means. I didn't watch season 2. So how do you feel about this? Are you excited about this casting? Do you think it might reinvigorate sort of the series a little bit? Because I heard that it kind of, you know, getting a little stale.
I'm excited. I mean, I think we all expected really big things out of Aaron Paul ever since Breaking Bad. And, you know, he did that Fast and Furious movie. He's in some sort of religious drama, I think. But haven't really heard his name a lot. And this is a big get for Westworld, I think. He's a great actor. And, yeah, this could be good depending on what sort of role he jumps into. Because, yeah, it is going to go a really different direction in season 3.
Would you rather see him as one of the robots or the hosts or as a human?
I kind of want to see him as a human badass, like in charge of shutting this whole, without getting into too much spoilers, shutting this whole robot rebellion down.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know when that's supposed to air. Is that like
probably 2020.
Year and a half away?
Yeah, I'm guessing 2020.
Yeah. All right, last news story of the week. Alan Wake, which was a video game for Xbox and PC back in 2010, is getting a TV adaptation from one of the guys that produces Legion on FX. Basically, Alan Wake is about a best-selling author named Alan Wake on a journey to a small town in Washington where he hopes to rid himself of prolonged writer's block. What follows is an increasingly surreal experience that seems to bring the plot from his last novel, which he has no memory of writing, to life, leaned on like a episodic structure that delivered basically levels as if they were like episodes in a TV series, and apparently even like made like even like fake TV shows in it that you had to interact with. It was pretty well received. It hasn't gotten like an actual real sequel, but people seem to love it. I remember playing it, but I don't remember a lot about it. I remember it was kind of creepy. It was like kind of like this weird like sci-fi fantasy kind of like horror elements to it.
I remember hearing a lot of buzz around this game when it came out. I don't think I ever played it. I think it was by the guys behind Max Payne. And I think it went through development
yes.
hell, had really good graphics. My brother will correct me on this, I'm sure, once he listens. He's the video game guru of Glitch Up, but could make for a good TV show. I remember the story being a big part of this one.
Yeah, no, it seems cool, and we're obviously always down for sort of creepier kind of shows or more yeah. horror-style shows, so definitely interested in this.
Absolutely.
All right, so that is it for news this week. We got 3 trailers to talk about. First up is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Buster Scruggs is from the Coen brothers. This is going to be on Netflix. It was originally, when it was originally announced, they basically made it sound like it was going to be like this anthology TV miniseries, and then they decided, nope, it's not going to be that. It's actually a movie with like six short films put together in it. And so that is essentially the synopsis. An anthology of six short films that take place in 19th century post-Civil War era during the settling of the Old West. James Franco is in it. Liam Neeson is in it. Tim Blake Nelson is in it. Tom Waits, Zoe Kazan. Like I said, it's from the Coen brothers. What did you think about this?
Thank you for that description because I watched the trailer and I was like, what the hell is this about? So the fact that it's about a bunch of like mini stories makes a little bit more sense. Killer cast. Coen brothers are in my top 5, top 10 favorite directors. Big Lebowski is like my favorite comedy of all time. So I'm really looking forward to this. I thought it looked visually really pretty, and loved True Grit. So anything kind of returning to that would be highly anticipated for me. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested. I just don't understand the tone of it.
Yeah.
At first it felt like it was going to be like kind of serious and like maybe a little bit darker or something. But then as it went on, it got kind of like outlandish at certain points. Basically whenever Tim Blake Nelson was on screen, who is playing, I guess, the character Buster Scruggs, it got kind of a little bit weird, which obviously isn't out of the norm for the Coen brothers, but I couldn't grasp what the tone is supposed to be. And I feel like if the tone is like all over the place comedy wise versus like if it's supposed to be serious, I don't know if I'm going to be all that interested.
It could be all over the place, you know. Maybe it's going to change story to story, similar to what every episode of Black Mirror, you're either filled with existential dread or just like crying. Like you never really know what you're gonna get. So we'll see how this one turns out, but I think it looks good.
Yeah. So that is going to be on Netflix, so we're gonna check it out there whenever that is. I believe it's in November is when they're releasing it. Next up is Captive State. The first teaser trailer was released for this, as well as a poster. The poster was pretty cool. This is set in a Chicago neighborhood nearly a decade after an occupation by an extraterrestrial force. Captive State explores the lives on both sides of the conflict, the collaborators and dissidents, directed and written by Rupert Wyatt, who made the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, like the first of like the newer Planet of the Apes movies. Stars Vera Farmiga, John Goodman, James Ransone, who was in The Wire and... is going to be in the upcoming It Chapter 2 movie. Ashton Sanders, who was in the Moonlight movie as the lead character when he was a teen. So this looks very interesting. I believe it was in sort of like this weird, not development hell, but like kind of like this weird delayed production / distribution problem because of their studio, I think. So that's like a little bit troubling. It was supposed to come out, actually, I think, this month, but then it got pushed back to March next year. But I think the trailer's pretty good.
Yeah, the poster got me hyped. I hadn't heard of this one. John Goodman and more sci-fi. Always welcome. Vera Farmiga taking some out there roles lately. Love it. And trailer got me really hyped. They spent the whole 2 minutes not revealing that anything was alien related. Then at the very end was like, welcome your new overlords. And yeah, really cool concept. I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, and as the trailer was going on, so like I knew about this before I watched the trailer. I knew about like the alien aspect of it, but like as the trailer was going on, it kind of got like a very like distinctly like Purge vibe from it.
Yeah,
in a way.
I felt the same thing. Yeah.
So like it was like Purge, but then mixed with like aliens or like maybe almost like a Cloverfield type movie or something. So I kind of like that crossover, and I especially like the fact that it's gonna be about. They're literally being ruled by aliens, and it's about, like, the conflict within that as opposed to, like, them fighting aliens. I'm sure they will fight aliens at some point, but I kind of like that it's going to be much more about, like, the political side of it.
Yeah, it'll be, like, politics and setting up the big, probably, fight at the end because I think the tagline did say, like, 10 years ago they took our planet, today we take it back or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of it will be the inner workings of, like, how this happened and what the structure of this world is now, which will be really interesting. We've never really seen anything like that.
Yeah. And then the last trailer we got for you guys this week was a teaser trailer for The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So this is like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch kind of reboot, or in a way a reboot, but not like a direct reboot. Stars Kiernan Shipka. She was on Mad Men, wasn't she?
She was. Great little actress. I'm excited to see her in a pretty big Netflix release here.
Yeah. So this is from the producers of Riverdale, which is on like the CW, and it does kind of have that sort of CW vibe, but it seems like it's gonna be creepy.
Yeah, it's like CW vibe mixed with Ryan Murphy and American Horror Story. She played Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men, if that helps you ring a bell. And this looks dark, and like I don't know what we're in for here.
When she's sitting at that table, like, yeah, when they're like singing Happy Birthday, and then they're just like staring at her, I was not expecting like this weird, like, I don't even know what you would call it, this weird like demon looking thing sitting at the end of the table, and then they all just like creepily look at her. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, I don't think we're the target audience for this, but I kind of want to watch it.
Oh, I will be watching it 100%.
Yeah. So yeah, watch that trailer. Pretty cool.
Yeah, October 26th is when that drops on Netflix. All right, so that is it for trailers this week. We're gonna go back to what you're watching. It's been a bit since we've done it. We know, obviously, you guys miss it from time to time, but honestly, we don't have like a ton of time to watch all this stuff outside of like the stuff that we're reviewing. But luckily, TV's picking up a little bit, so we can give some recommendations, tell you what's been going on. Andy, what have you been watching?
Oh boy, our favorite show is back, Always Sunny, and it is
it is
funnier than ever. I'm sure you've watched at least the first episode. I believe the second one's dropped already. I haven't caught it yet, but
yep,
just so consistent. I mean, I hope this show never goes away. Have you been enjoying it?
Yes. So the first episode I was a little iffy on, and I don't necessarily want to spoil anything, I guess, in case people haven't watched it. But I appreciate what they did with the episode. But it didn't quite connect like a lot of the other episodes. It was very meta and like tongue-in-cheek about the situation that they're in. The second episode is absolutely hilarious. Like, it might be one of my favorite episodes.
I'm watching that tonight for sure. Yes.
It is so funny. Just every single joke lands, and it's so just all of them acting ridiculous. There were a couple of times where I was just like actually laughing out loud and like couldn't stop.
Yeah, if you haven't watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one, I envy you. Two, go, just get it started if you want a really crude, hilarious comedy television show. Is it all on Netflix? What are their options here?
I believe Sunny is on Hulu now.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I have been watching Ozark Season 2. Boy, it is just as good as Season 1. Have you watched any Ozark?
I watched all of Season 1. I've not caught any of Season 2 yet.
So Ozark is Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, and I think there's some other big names in it, where basically he gets caught laundering money and has to launder a hell of a lot more in order to protect his family. And it's kind of like Breaking Bad with no setup, just going right into the drug rings and money laundering, and it is really intense. And Season 2 was really, really happy with how it turned out. So just as good, if not better, than Season 1, in my opinion. So highly recommend Ozark on Netflix.
Really? Have you watched all of Season 2 then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. And then the only other thing I've really been watching, and I just started this morning actually, was American Vandal Season 2, which just dropped on Netflix on Friday. American Vandal, the first season, was one of my favorite shows of last year. Might have been, probably could have been my favorite show last year. It's basically like this mockumentary making fun of, like, you know, how to make a murderer, or what it takes to be a murderer, whatever that one was called, like Serial, all those kinds of like true crime shows. Yeah. Except it sets it in like ridiculous situations. The first season was about basically a kid getting framed for spray painting dicks on cars in a parking lot. But it handled it so well. It like actually looked at like certain problems that like high schoolers might actually have and handled it without like being like too like high school drama kind of stuff. Made it serious when it needed to be serious. It was a great mystery. It was fascinating to follow along. And then it was absolutely hilarious. Everything that they did was hilarious. And so the second season just premiered. This is, it has the same two, like, main kids from the last time, but an entire new cast. This is about, basically, it's like a Catholic high school, and one day everyone starts shitting their pants and shitting everywhere in the school.
What?
And basically it was like someone put laxatives in like the school lemonade or something, and they all drank it. And so these two kids go to like investigate it, and it picks up right where it left off. It is so good. It looks great. It's like crisp imagery. It is so funny, twisting and turning, even in the first episode. I absolutely love the show. You should give it a shot if you haven't.
Yeah, it's on my list to watch. It sounds too ridiculous to not watch. So glad to hear season two starting off strong. The only other thing on my list is I did go see Eighth Grade a couple weeks ago, and I'm not sure if I talked about it yet, but really recommend Bo Burnham's directorial debut. It's about a girl in eighth grade and just dealing with trying to do what's most important to you when you're in eighth grade and just be cool. I'm getting deja vu here. I might have talked about this, but it deserves another mention. Eighth Grade, Bo Burnham, really good flick. Catch a matinee or something.
Yeah, something that I definitely want to see it, but unfortunately I don't really think it's in theaters around me anymore. All right, so that is it for what you're watching. Time to talk about The Predator. So The Predator, I'll give you all the baseline stats here. 34% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 5.1 out of 176 reviews. 51% of the audience liked it. Critic consensus, The Predator has violence and quips to spare, but its chaotically hollow action adds up to another missed opportunity for a franchise increasingly defined by disappointment. So this stars a lot of people. Boyd Holbrook, who was in Narcos, he was one of the villains in Logan. Olivia yep. Munn is in this. Sterling K. Brown is in this. Jacob Tremblay, the kid from Room, is in this. Theon Greyjoy from yep. Game of Thrones is in this.
Alfie Allen, yep.
Yep. Trevante Rhodes, who played the adult lead in Moonlight, is in this. Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele is in this. What's the one guy's name that has Tourette's in this?
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
The Punisher slash is in the Expanse yep. as well.
And Shane Black wrote and directed this, or I believe contributed to writing it at least. Shane Black actually wrote the original Predator, or helped write the original Predator, and wrote a bunch of other movies. He
was actually in it as
Iron
well.
Iron Man 3, The Nice Guys. Sorry, what did you say?
He was actually in it as well, Predator 1.
Yeah, yes, he was. Yeah, he was one of the soldiers. Mm-hmm. He made The Nice Guys, Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, basically revitalized Robert Downey Jr.'s career with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. But anyways, like I said at the beginning, this is a little bit different from at least the original Predator. Obviously, there was a lot of action in the original Predator, but it wasn't, you know, blockbustery action. It was much more like kind of like serious, intense, almost horror-like, because it's like this scary alien. But this goes full throttle, kind of just dumb popcorn flick.
Just bonkers.
Just bonkers. Yeah, and it's a lot of logical leaps you have to make, a lot of suspension of disbelief. Obviously, a movie where an alien is running around, or aliens are running around. It starts out, just to give sort of plot line a little bit, starts out Boyd Holbrook is on like a mission in Mexico, I believe, trying to like save hostages from like a drug cartel. And then this Predator spaceship comes flying and crashes. He finds it. Little bit of a fight with the Predator, but he steals like a couple pieces of like its armor or its technology, and then like sends it back home. And then the government comes, and it's all this thing. And then basically just about them trying to, you know, fight the Predator and catch the Predator and all that fun stuff. What did you think about this movie?
This was a big old dumb action movie, and I say that, and I really do mean it. It is a big, dumb, loud movie. Like, I was entertained. But it's almost like worse than the Fast and the Furious series, where you have got to just turn the brain off and stop trying to look for plot holes and question characters' decisions. Whoo boy. It was a good looking movie and it had a lot of, I think, fun action, but boy was this movie dumb.
Yeah, you're right. It is very dumb. I surprisingly liked it. I think the first 20 minutes or so, I was sitting there and I was like, oh no, we need a good movie to see. I don't want to have to deal with like another Happy Time Murder situation where I just can't even stand sitting here, because I thought the first 20 minutes were so bad. Because they were like, the script was really bad for the first 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, where it's like basically trying to set up a bunch of different characters, give you like a little bit of background, a bunch of characters, while also setting up the main plot line and like trying to like give like little hints as to foreshadowing, like what's going to happen later. And I think because they were trying to do so much, and there's a lot of characters in this movie, weirdly, that like trying to set that all up kind of didn't really work. And it was just kind of like a lot of exposition and a lot of like eye rolling and just like, I didn't want to handle it.
A ton of exposition.
It kind of got into a groove once the action actually like started, and everyone was together, or all, I guess the main cast was essentially together. And then it got fun and I like actually enjoyed it. Some of the stuff is still stupid. I hate that little kid. Jacob Tremblay sucks. He was good in Room, but he sucks.
Has he been in anything else besides this and Room?
He was in... God, he's been in some other stuff, but I can't really remember exactly what. But he's a little turd.
The exposition was painfully bad, especially when they're trying to introduce so many characters. Like, they should have just cut one or two characters out in this crew of mercenaries, because them kind of sitting around, like, basically... kumbaya style around a campfire being like, what are you in for and what are you all about? Where they basically go through like, I'm the guy that does explosives, I'm the funny guy, I'm the guy that has shit Tourette's. And it was just like a painfully bad like quick intro to all these people, so you could get a baseline for this this wacky crew that's gonna help hunt the predator. It was really bad. But once they started joshing with each other, the dialogue and chemistry is pretty good with them. But the script did not do this movie any favors.
When I love Sterling K. Brown. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I was a little disappointed, at least like when they were starting him up, they like give him like these like little things that he does, like these weird laughs or like him chewing on the gum or like throwing a piece of gum into his mouth.
And they zoom like, into the gum.
This straight up does not add anything to his character at all. And it's just like distracting me from like what's actually going on. I do not care about these stupid little things that he does.
Yeah, like if they were setting up his, I think, smoking problem, because he was chewing I think like nicotine, like I was like, oh, that'll come back. They literally zoom in on it and he's just popping gum the whole movie. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? It never comes back. And I really think this movie went to the chopping block a lot, because there are some really bad cuts, there's some really bad edits, there are scenes that happen and I'm like, oh, I guess that'll probably come back, but then it's abandoned and nothing ever happens. This movie just reeks of just being chopped to death, because the first draft or second draft, third draft wasn't very good.
Yeah, I believe that, and I wholeheartedly agree. There's a couple things in spoilers. Obviously, we can get to some of that stuff where they just completely just don't address some things that feel like they were probably very important to the movie.
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, outside of that, I don't really have all that much. I think obviously there's some characters that are like wasted. The wife is kind of a pointless character. She doesn't really do much other than just like being a person that's there to receive the package.
Yeah, exactly.
and it, like, some characters feel like they should be doing more. They're like, they would have been more important, and then they're like not at all. Like, kind of Olivia Munn kind of felt like she wasn't very important to the story.
Well, on that
they kind
same
of set her
note,
up to be like
it's
a smart
like
scientist, and
the females in this movie were very gender, like, it's just the same shit you're used to with action movies and females in action movies. Mm-hmm. Just the damsels in distress, like, they don't really do much. I'll talk about a little bit more in spoilers, some gender swapping a little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary here when it comes to the females in this movie.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else. You have anything specifically non-spoilery that you want to talk about?
I thought the first half was better than the second half before it devolves into turn your brain off, like, to the point of no return. And let's see. There's some pretty serious, like, human conditions in this movie that are kind of used for laughs and weird plot points. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty tone deaf and kind of appalling.
Yeah.
Do you kind of, you know where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do. I 100% do.
While I did think the movie was pretty, of course, there's dark action scenes later in the movie that are just too dark to follow. And I was kind of mm-hmm. disappointed with that. And then the only other note I wrote, non-spoilers, I thought there was pretty much just a lack of tension overall. Like, this giant imposing predator's on the screen and everybody's just kind of making jokes, where in the first couple movies they were actually scared of the predator and were like, yeah, holy shit, we're in trouble here. Where in this movie is just quip, 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 like Joss Whedon quip fest.
Yeah, yes. Yes, 100%. They, like, paid no attention to the thing at all.
Yeah. That's kind of all I had, though, as far as non-spoilers. But I'm ready for reviews. What about you?
All right. Grades. I would give this a B-, actually.
Wow. Okay. We are off here. For the first time in a long time, I'm gonna give my summary line here. The Predator is a nice-looking but extremely dumb action flick. Turn off your brain, and if I can't convince you to skip this one, at least make sure to see it on the biggest and loudest theater you can. I'm giving this a D+.
A D+? Holy cow.
I thought it was below average and extremely stupid, with plot holes galore, terrible script, and the only thing that really saved it was the decent practical effects and some of the chemistry of the terribly written cast.
Wow. All right. Well,
we might have a fun spoiler sections coming up here.
That's a B- for me, a D+ for Andy. If you do not want to be spoiled, stop listening now. Predator non-spoiler review begins now. I just want to start off by talking about Jacob Tremblay quick. I think my problem with this little kid is that I understand that in this movie he was supposed to have like a condition. First off, that was a stupid plot point. Very dumb.
You mean that the Predator is here to take the spinal fluid of an autistic child on Earth because apparently autism is the top species or like the next wave of human condition on Earth?
Yes.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
That. But he does this thing where he always like is like sniffling and like wipes his nose throughout the movie for some reason. Yeah. I was like, apparently do autistic
kids, he's on the spectrum,
like,
bro,
have a constant cold. But also, I think my biggest problem with him is that he always looks like he's going to sneeze, and this wasn't just because he was like sniffling and wiping his nose, but just the look on his face always looks like he's going to sneeze, and I just can't have that out of a kid actor because it conveys no other emotion other than just like looking like he's going to sneeze.
His character, outside of just his acting, his character has Asperger's or autism or some sort of condition, and in the beginning he could barely make it through a fire alarm, but by the end he can like muster up the courage to fight through alien explosions and like massive gunfights and like certain death.
Yeah, it was just absolutely ridiculous. His character just made no sense. It was just pointless. It was like, oh, we could like want to make this like a little bit, you know, heartwarming, have an emotional center to it. And it's like, it didn't really work. None of the emotional beats worked in this
movie. No, and like, I think you're supposed to root for Boyd Holbrook's character to like reconnect with his child. But clearly mm-hmm. when he comes home, his wife's like, you're not welcome here. Get the hell out of here. Like, and he's just disconnected from his family. So I didn't really care. Like, sure, I'm sure he loves his kid on some level, but like, you seem like a pretty shitty dad.
Yeah, yeah. Do we see the wife after the Predator goes to the house and like destroys and then she runs out? Like, do we see her again?
I don't think so. And that brings me to my next point of just like, things happen in this movie that are never addressed again. We talked about the gum thing. We talked about the wife. She wasn't even needed in this movie. And there's one scene where, okay, so there are Predator dogs in this movie. We'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. But there's one scene where the dog that was terrorizing the kid early comes up to him and is nice to him and then gets barked at by the Predator dog. And then the Predator dogs, there's a fight scene. But then they're all the humans are driving away from the Predator dogs. And then the dog is running up to the van and then it just cuts. And that's never addressed again. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I wonder if the dog's going to come back and like save the day again. But no, dog. There's just a scene in the movie where the dogs are running after the humans, and then the dog's never seen again. There's so many of those instances.
The biggest thing that they dropped and didn't really address was when the Predator like first awakens in like the government bunker, mm-hmm. and is like killing a bunch of people, and then Olivia Munn goes and hides and then gets naked for some reason. And then the Predator walks up, looks at her, and doesn't do anything. She like mentions that again later, and then no one cares, and then it's not addressed at all the rest of the movie.
That's what I said to the wife when I was leaving this, and she said that it really was just trying to remind you, the audience, that the Predators do have intelligence, and they understand that like it's no fun for them to hunt a naked female on the floor. They want to hunt something that actually is a challenge to them. I think that's what she was trying to convey to us. But like, we know that.
Yeah, and also it murdered a bunch of like people anyways that were just...
Yeah, I didn't get that. Also, screw this movie for teasing us two times with an Olivia Munn nude scene in an R-rated film.
I mean, they did subject her to an actual sexual predator that they hired for the film for a scene where she got hit on by that person, and then the studio found out and was like, yeah, no, cut that scene.
Yeah, I did hear about that. That's unfortunate. Yeah. It was like Shane Black's friend or something, too.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
God. How about the callback to get to the chopper? Get to the choppers.
Nice. Come on. Absolutely hilarious.
Before we leave Olivia Munn, I just want to address that she starts out as a biologist and a damsel in distress, but by the end of the movie, she knows her way around whatever weapon, motorcycle, helicopter, or badass mercenary situation she could be put in, and is just basically Lara Croft by the end of the movie. Like, what happened?
I have no idea. You were 100% right about that. I was going to bring that up too. Because she is like one of the better fighters at the end of the movie.
She's killing it.
In a team of soldiers. Yeah. Like, what?
And that's just like logic that you have to just check at the door if you're going to have any fun with this movie. I kept thinking how dumb it was. And I think that distracted from the movie and from my grade a little bit. Because I wasn't able to put that away. Just how stupid this movie was as far as plot holes and shit like that.
When Sterling K. Brown died, they did not give it any attention.
First of all,
I sort of didn't even realize he died.
You blink and you miss it. I was like, did his head just explode? They never go back to it. They never address it. I had to Google it afterwards. Apparently the gun on his shoulder, he turned and it fired?
Turned? Yeah, yeah.
He was like, I couldn't even tell. The main dickhead of the movie and kind of the like mini villain. And he goes out like that? He deserved a better death.
He did. He was like one of the more fun characters, despite all like the stupid tics that they had to focus on. But he was like one of the more fun characters, and was clearly one of the people that was having the most fun at filming this movie.
Yeah, I can't really take him seriously as like a badass, which I think I really wasn't supposed to. He's just kind of a wormy villain. And he kind of deserved a better death scene than that. That was disappointing, and it just again reeked of really bad editing and like this thing being sent through the grindhouse.
It kind of sucks that the lead character, Boyd Holbrook's character, straight up has, I don't know, no qualities at all other than just being good at killing people, I guess. He doesn't really have anything. Like he, like you said earlier, like they try and make like that emotional core of like him reconnecting with his son, but like it doesn't really feel like he likes his son all that much. And like he doesn't like, he's not like very charismatic. He's not like funny.
He kind of stands up for Olivia Munn's character and like make sure she's treated right, but there's a scene where she jumps off a bus and he's like lets her fall to the ground like 10 feet in the air, and he's like, huh, sorry bitch. He's just like a poor man's Garrett Hedlund with no redeeming qualities in this movie.
My god, yes.
And then
as they, you know, when they fill out like the rest of the cast, the rest of the troops, the loonies or the loony bin people, I'm assuming this is what you're referring to before, where they make light of something that's terrible. Gervonta Rhodes' character, who tried to kill himself, and they joke about it.
Yeah, I mean, they joke about taking your life. They joke about PTSD. They make jokes out of Tourette's. The movie is weirdly centered around Asperger's and autism and people on the spectrum. It's just some really weird joke decisions in this movie that were pretty tone deaf.
They also do like a tired retarded joke where like someone says retarded and then they're like, hey, don't say that, his kid's retarded, and it's like, not funny. That wasn't
funny.
Like, we've heard that joke a billion times.
Not funny. Just not funny. There were some jokes that landed though, but it was literally right down the middle. 50-50 cringe. Like the, if your mom's vagina had a video game rating, it'd be rated E for everyone.
So bad. So
like,
bad.
So cringe. Like that wouldn't have been funny in seventh grade.
I did appreciate that scene though, because they showed that joke in like one of the first Red Band trailers or something, and everyone was like, oh my god, the writing is going to be terrible. But it actually kind of served a purpose. Like, I don't know if it was necessarily supposed to be funny, because he was still trying to rile whatever Thomas Jane's character up with it. So I don't know if it was necessarily supposed to be like getting it a laugh from the audience.
Yeah.
So at least it served a purpose though in the movie, other than like, we hope idiots in the audience laugh at this.
Speaking of the soldiers on that bus were pretty inept. Like, all it took was a guy telling jokes to get him riled up, and they waltz in there and let that crew just strip him naked of the keys and just, like, immediately steal that truck. And then another truck driver has his entire crew in the backseat murdered by a predator, and a predator grabs a dead limp arm that he somehow gets the thumbs up to be up, and then just the truck driver's like, you guys okay back there? The predator's like, thumbs up, yep, we are. Whew.
And then just sits there and makes like a predator noise. And it's like, did the bus driver not hear that predator noise?
Yeah, speaking of predator noises too, did it sound to you, like to you that the predator dogs had human like literal ha 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 growls? When they were running away, they're like, ha 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 ha. And I was like, what the hell?
No, I did not notice that.
Oh man, you got to go listen to it again. Because like, I guess the predator noise is just like a weird croaky... Yeah. But when you listen to the dogs run away, they're like, ah, 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 ah. What the heck?
Oh, man, that's amazing. I raised my grade up to an A+ now.
Oh, my God. What do you think about the CG in this movie, the CGI? I thought it was atrocious, and I really was digging the Predator's practical effects in the first half. But then it devolved into, like, just unacceptable CG in the final act of the movie.
Yeah, I wasn't a very big fan of it, but at a certain point, once I kind of realized, like, not to expect a lot, I kind of just, like, didn't care. But yeah, it wasn't anything special, and it certainly was better when the Predator was, like, an actual human actor playing the Predator and not just some ridiculous-looking, you know, computer-generated monster.
I got a couple more points before we get kind of to the end. I saw this on Reddit. So a package gets sent from a rural Mexican village, clears customs, gets sent to suburban Maryland, goes to a P.O. box, gets rerouted to a home, all before the main character has to take a shit and shit out the invisibility ball. Got it.
Wait a second. Before, even before that, my biggest problem with it was the fact that Boyd Holbrook threatens a random Mexican bar owner to send this out with a gun. The Mexican bar owner, who was just threatened to be killed if he didn't send this thing, bubble wraps everything, puts in packing peanuts, does all of that, and sends, like, a perfect package.
Oh, yeah.
He bubble wrapped it.
And, like, what was, like, he comes, he's like, why would I ever help someone with a gun? And then he's like, because this, and he goes invisible. And the Mexican guy's like, oh, shit, you're right, I better do this for you. It was just weird. He did a great packing job, though. I want that guy to mail all my packages.
It's absolutely, absolutely wild. That was, like, one of the things that I just, like, couldn't handle. I was like, why did this guy put in such hard work packing up just random things?
Because he fears that he could be, you know, watched when he's taking a poop in the future by Invisible Man. By the Hollow Man. How about when the kid in the movie... murders someone with a rocket and likely that man's roommates as well in a house, and it's just like, cool, I did it.
Yes. It's like not talked about. House. No one cares. No one really cares. And then you just hear like on like the radio, it's like, oh, there's a little kid walking around with a, you know, blah 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 with a stuff walking away from this firehouse. And it's just like, did the cops do nothing? The cops did not care about it, apparently. Literally, a house exploded, and a man got murdered.
and he probably had roommates. Like, that was hilarious. I got like four bullets on the end here. Do you have anything else as far as the first and second act?
No.
So I really didn't like how the Ultra Predator was basically defeated by bumbling idiots. The kid like slips and slides down a chute slide, and like his hand slips over a force field that cuts off the Predator's hand, and then they basically just trip and bumble their way through defeating him. It was really kind of a letdown as far as like a final fight goes.
Yeah, I was not a fan of like them using the invisibility thing or whatever, the cloaking device, whatever the hell you want to call it, because it was just like so obvious and so stupid. And also, shouldn't the Predator know it's coming? Like, the Predator sees like heat signatures.
Yeah, so he should be able to just see them.
Yeah.
How about the scene where where Key and Peele, the Key and Peele guy and Thomas Jane shoot each other at the same exact time?
What was that? They were also clearly, that was like another emotional thing they were trying to do. I couldn't tell what the deal was between them two. And as like the movie went on, they like kept like increasing the amount of time they spent together and increasing their relationship with each other. But it was like they didn't give any sort of signifiers or any backstory on that.
It was another throwaway line that it's like a blink and you miss it moment where I think they said that they were part of a convoy or something, that everybody else in the convoy died except them too, so they felt guilt over it. And at some point, okay, I think it was alluded to that Thomas Jane's character was faking the Tourette's. And because when he said welcome back and he's like, I never left, like he basically stopped having Tourette's at that point. There was just so many weird character things that that are just, they live on the chopping room floor now.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. I did not even realize any of that stuff.
How about the very, very end? The kid has a desk job. He's apparently the smartest kid on the planet in the most advanced, secret alien base in the world. He's got a desk job now.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. He is the peak of human life.
He's the human, as we found out. Trophy. Yep. Peak specimen.
Yep. Also, he figured out alien technology within, 10 minutes, somehow.
Literal moments. Yeah.
I hated the end. I thought it was absolutely stupid. And like he's like, what is that? That's my new suit. Shut up. I got up and walked out.
In the reveal of what was in that, I was like, please make it something xenomorph and alien related. Like, please make it be an egg.
I thought it was going to be an alien.
Yeah, same
I was,
here.
Like an actual xenomorph. I was like pumped. I was like, oh my god, yes, it's gonna murder these people.
And then instead, like, it was
crossover. And then it was
an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, lame.
That's my new suit. I don't want to see. Hope they have it in 42 long. I was like, get the hell out of here.
Absolute comedic genius, Boyd Holbrook, delivering yet another great line in the movie. That was filled with them. I gave this movie a B- because it was like stupid fun and I actually had like a decent time at it, but I have no interest in watching a future movie where Boyd Holbrook is Iron Man Predator flying around fighting other predators.
Also, okay, so did they ever go back? There's a couple things that are just coming to my mind now. Did they ever go back and was that a half predator, half human alien? Did an alien have sex with a human? And why was that predator sending Earth help? And why was the help just a suit? There are so many things that are so stupid.
I have no idea. Maybe because it was like part human, it wanted to help the human race?
Are we to assume that it was that the black girl from maybe Alien vs. Predator 2? Because at the end, she is working with a predator. I don't know if those movies are canon. True.
God, I have no idea. I have no idea.
So many plot holes, so many bad edits. A movie that reeks of corporate interference. I was really disappointed, and that's why it gets a D+ out of me. It was entertaining. And, I kind of had fun watching it, but boy, it was just so stupid.
Yeah, still a B- from me. It is very dumb, obviously, as you can tell from our discussion. But it is dumb fun, and like I had fun. I don't know if I would want to spend money on it, but you know, I had a decent time. If, like, you want to go, when it like, comes out on streaming or something, grab a couple beers, sit down with some friends, watch it. You can make fun of all the stupid shit that happens, and let me know how much you hate Jacob Tremblay, please, because I need to make a hate club. So that's it for this week. Next week, I believe we're reviewing A Simple Favor, starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
From Paul Feig's darker sort of side.
Neo-noir thriller movie, which actually has really good reviews right now. Mm. I believe it's in the 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. So we will have that for you. Maybe we'll talk about some other TV show stuff. I'm not really sure what necessarily there is, but we will we'll see you next week. And thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, review on whatever podcast listening platform you have. Go to glitchup.com/support if you want to support us. glitchup.com/feedback if you want to give us any anonymous feedback. Shout out to the second person ever that gave us feedback this week. Like, comment, share, subscribe, follow on all social media, all that fun stuff. Check out glitchup.com for any new articles. We're trying to kick ourselves into actually writing more, so hopefully that happens soon. Thanks for listening.
Glitch out.